Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of each and every one of our hearts be pleasing in your sight as we look to your holy scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you want me to do for you? Now imagine, let's go to Disney for a while. You know, I think of the story of Aladdin. Remember Aladdin's lamp, and this lamp is found in the sand, and it's all tarnished and everything, and the person starts to rub it, and what happens? Genie pops out, right? And the person, you've got three wishes. You know, what do you want me to do for you? Now, the first wish I would have is to be able to have as many wishes as I want. But I'm told that you can't do that with a genie. But that would be my first wish. How many people would, you know, we've all gotten smart enough. We've seen it, seen the story. We would say, that's what I want. But can you imagine if someone came to you, what do you want me to do for you? But this person is not some genie in a bottle. But it's someone that is all powerful, has everything at their disposal, and not only that, loves you with all of their heart. Wow. What do you want me to do for you? Well, in the Bible, two times God asked individuals that very question. With that in mind, let's look at the first one. And then we're going to camp at the second one. But the first one is in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles. Just to give you a little bit of background, a man by the name of King David had been king. He's died. He's turned the kingdom over to his son Solomon. And so this is where we're picking up the story. So it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord. And there was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? What do you want? And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I've made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. So here we have Solomon. So he comes into the presence of God. And back there under the Old Testament, back in those days, Jesus hadn't yet given his life on the cross of Calvary. So the way of approach to God was through offering up sacrifices. So animals, innocent animals, would be shed. And it says in this particular time that he offered up 1,000 burnt offerings. So 1,000 innocent animals gave their life. Can you imagine? 1,000 of them, all in one day, gave their life. Isn't it good to know for you and I that we don't have to slaughter some animal on an altar to approach God any longer? But Jesus Christ gave his life once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, so we may approach God with all freedom and confidence. Amen? Isn't it good to know? But under the old covenant, Jesus hadn't yet come. So giving of those animals was sacrificial. That sacrificial offering was an example to show that blood had to be shed to pay for the price of sin. And so here Solomon does an extravagant thing, 1,000 burnt offerings. And that night God appears to him and says, what do you want? What do you want? So Solomon could have asked for a lot of things. In fact, even God said, you could have asked for riches and honor and wealth and the death of your enemies and long life. You could have all of that. But what does Solomon ask for? Wisdom and understanding. And God is pleased with that, isn't he? Why is wisdom and understanding so important? Well, think about this. If you have wisdom and understanding, won't all the riches and honor and long life. Won't all those things happen if you're walking in the wisdom of the Lord? And the answer is yes. You see, what Solomon was asking for was something eternal in nature. You see, wealth and riches and honor and long life, that's all temporary. That's all just for here and now. It's going to come and it's going to go. But he asked for wisdom and understanding, which are eternal in nature. And that pleased God. And God said, since you've asked for eternal things, I'm going to give you all the other things as well. Now that coincides with a scripture in Matthew. Matthew 6 verses 33 says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. See, that's the heart of our God, is that if we will fix our eyes on the eternal things, all the other things are automatic. And so Solomon understood that. Here's the question. If someone asked us, what do you want? How would you answer? Now, obviously, hopefully you're a little wiser at this point. You say, well, of course, I'd ask for wisdom and understanding. But before I said it, before this sermon today, what might have you asked for? Where would your heart be? See, God's heart is for your best, but not your best for today, but your best for all of eternity. That's how God works. He's always in this for the long haul. He's always in it for the distance. And so what we think might be perfect and great for us right now is maybe not good for us, because God knows that in the long run, it will hurt us and cause us to stumble. Are we willing to trust God when he says no, or not yet, or not now, and to trust him when he does that? See, God wants to bless us. And so I think that we should approach, as wise Solomon did, approach God and say, Lord, I want wisdom and I want understanding, because through that, everything else comes. Amen. Seeking him first. That's not easy, is it? In a world that we live in with being inundated by so much data from the world, right? But we have to come to a place of seeing God as being the priority and God knowing what he's doing. How many people have realized now God knows what he's doing? All right, so don't put your hand up now, because but are you willing to trust him? We all know, yep, that's the right answer. It's like, who saved the world? Jesus, okay. Who will help you through life? Jesus. You know, we always know the right answer. But when it comes down to it, are we willing to take the step of faith? That's the question. Now, when we started this series a month or so ago, was the overarching theme was going in and out, or to coming in and out of God's presence. And it's very interesting that right here, again, if you have your Bibles open, same place in Chronicles, right where we were, if you look at verse 10, he asks us, he says, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? You see, Solomon was really asking not just for wisdom and understanding to minister to the people of the kingdom, but to come in and out of the presence of God. See, you and I need wisdom and understanding to go into God's presence. You see, when we go into God's presence, do we have a wish list? Okay, God, I want you to fix this. I got this problem. I want you to do this other thing over here. And oh, by the way, I don't like that person. Can you get them out of my life, please? You know what I'm saying? You may not verbally say it, but those are kind of some thoughts that might be in there. But what does God say about our approach to him? To ask for wisdom and understanding in how to love that unlovable person, in how to deal with that circumstance and situation. In other words, to come into his presence. He knows you've got needs, and there's a time and a place where you talk to him about that. But wouldn't it be better to take on his character and nature so that when you come into his presence, you can go out and deal with those circumstances? In other words, God's heart is for spiritual things first, and when you put those things first, everything else will fall into place. But so often, the priorities in our mind is that financial situation right in front of us. That relationship right in front of us. I get it. I'm one of you. I deal with this all the time. But the thing is, are we willing for just a few moments of time to push that aside and say, Lord, I'm just here to be with you. I'm just here to feel your presence. And in fact, that's why I put such an emphasis on worship. That's why we work so hard in the whole area of worship. Why? Because I want to help people be able to come into an atmosphere where for a few minutes of their day, a few minutes in a week, they can push aside the pressures of everything going on and just sense him and sense that it's going to be okay if you'll trust him. That's why the emphasis on it, because I believe that his presence changes everything. I can't make you come into his presence. I can't do that. But if I can provide an atmosphere that might help you, then we'll try to do that. Amen. That's why I invited you. I said, come in, come in. Don't let yourself be hindered. He's here to touch you. See, one moment in God's presence can change 10 years of anguish in a person's life. And I can attest to it. Is there anyone else can attest to that? You know what I'm talking about? Where you fought with, you know, for Ingrid, it was only less than a week. You know, thank God it was less than a week. You know what I'm saying? But for some of us, we've carried things and fought with things in our mind and in our hearts for months, if not years. And then all of a sudden we come into God's presence and he says, I've got this. Or he says that one word that sets us free and it's over. And after we leave and we're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I do this like a year ago? Well, yeah, what is wrong with me? Well, it's not so much that anything's wrong with you, but you forgot that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the great counselor. He's the great deliverer. He has all the answers. But sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we're like this. I got this, Jesus. I'll carry it. I got this. Don't worry about it. Can I tell you, the minute you're saying that, that's pride. And you know what comes after that? A fall. Amen. And so to avoid that, just let him in. Converse with him. Let his heart become your heart. And then everything else becomes secondary, easy to fix stuff. And you might say, but I got this. I'm sure there are many people here. You've got insurmountable issues facing you at this moment. Whether it be health things, financial things, relationship things, job things. You know, insurmountable. To you, the mountain is too big. Listen, if it's too big, then quit trying to climb it yourself. Let Jesus help you. Now, he won't go around it. You know what I've learned about Jesus? He goes through everything. But when you go through it with him hand in hand, that changes your perspective. And all of a sudden, that mountain becomes a molehill because you're seeing it from God's perspective. And that's how God sees things. Amen? I wonder whether at times, though, we want to be mountain climbers. I wonder whether we get so stubborn. I'm gonna do this. I'm one of those people. And I know some of you are, too. And I have suffered greatly at my own expense, in a sense, because I said, I can do this. And we all have to come to a place of letting go and taking on the wisdom and understanding of the Spirit of God. Amen? So Solomon chose wisely because it was an eternal decision. Now you might say, okay, Solomon, he was a king. You know, he already had riches and honor. He already had all that stuff. So of course he didn't ask for that. So he asked for wisdom. But doesn't the word say that we're kings and priests before our God? It does. That you as a believer in Christ, that's who you are. You are a king and a priest. What we're going to talk about now, though, is a man from the other side of the tracks. See, here we have Solomon, a king, recognized by everyone. Let's take a minute and look at someone else that God came to and asked the same question, but was in a far different place. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Mark chapter 10. What do you want me to do for you? That's a scary question now, isn't it? Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Jesus is on the earth, okay? And so this is an account of what happened when he was with his disciples. Mark 10, 46. Now they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. Verse 51. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. What a great account. You know, I don't want to call it a story, because sometimes when we think of stories, we think of fairy tales, you know, untrue stories. This is an account of a real person in real need with a real Jesus coming and touching them and being changed forever. So how does this relate to you and I? Well, I think to begin we need to look into the life of Bartimaeus. First of all, his world was a dark world, wasn't it? He was blind. Just for a second, humor me. For 5 seconds, just close your eyes. Just close them. That was blind Bart's world every day, all the time. Okay, you can open your eyes. Every day was darkness. Every day he couldn't see around him. He had to depend upon his other senses in order to carry on with life. Now, it's pretty amazing how God has made the human body. I had a friend in Canada who was legally blind, and he couldn't see. Man, he tripped over everything. But I'll tell you, he could hear things that I couldn't hear. He'd say, "Do you hear this?" And I'm like, "What?" You know, he said, and I'd have to get closer to whatever it was so I could hear. It's amazing how God can do that with a human being. In other words, our eyes are taking in megabits of data. Even as you're sitting there looking at me, you're taking picture, picture, picture. And it's taking in all this data, you know, of what's going on in your surroundings. And your mind is processing it without you even realizing it. It's absolutely amazing. And your other senses as well, your smell, your taste, your touch, your ability to hear, you're processing this data. And so what the human body does when one of those inputs gets disconnected, somehow the mind kind of rewires and makes other parts more alert. So in the case of my friend in Canada, he could hear things that I couldn't hear. He had he could sense things, he could feel things that I couldn't. Why? Because he still needed data. And so the human body made that adjustment and that change. And so I believe blind Bart was just like that. That though he had lost his eyesight and he was living in a dark world in a sense, he was still connected. Maybe not the same as you and I. But let's picture him. There he is. He's on the side of the road. That's what it says. So here he is. He's on the side of the road. He can't see a thing. And yet, here's the world going by him. You know, think about it. In the morning, he'd hear, first of all, the rumble of the bread carts as they're going by. He could smell the aroma of the fresh bread. It's like, oh, it smells good. You know, again, his senses are heightened because he can't see it. So everything else, he's sensing. Yet here he is, he's beside the road, and he can hear the Romans going by. You know, they're marching in step, you know. He can hear crowds of people going by. He can hear their conversations better than you and I could because that's all he's got. He can't see. So he's taking in that data all different ways. And here he is beside the road of life, isn't he? In a sense, life is going by him, and he's just there, and people are coming and going. And it says this, that Jesus came to Jericho. I looked it up. Jericho at that time was a population of some 10,000 people, give or take. And yet the word says this, that he passed through Jericho and was leaving Jericho. In other words, he didn't stop to talk to anyone, at least not that we have recorded. He didn't heal anyone. Don't you think that out of 10,000 people, that somebody had a need in Jericho? Wouldn't you think? Here's what I think. Jesus went through Jericho to get to Bartimaeus. Jesus will go from wherever he is to come to where you are, even if he has to go through a lot of other people's needs to get there. That's the heart of our God. Now, blind Bart had some real issues. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. We're inside his life right now. He's not only physically blind, but he's emotionally crippled. Now, here's why I know that. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, actually means polluted or dirty or unclean. That's literally what his name means. So that tells me a couple things. It tells me that probably he was born blind. Because why would you call your child that unless something was wrong with him? Now, obviously, none of us here would call our child that anyways. But back in that day, a name described the person. And so literally, when that child was born, there must have been some physical attribute, probably his blindness, that caused them to call him Bartimaeus. So he had that stigma with him from day one. Now, if he went to school, can you imagine what his life was like at school? Can I tell you, it was hell on earth. He was that kid. He was that kid that got picked on, ridiculed. They'd even probably nickname him, call him Unclean One, you know. And here's the thing. He was, in the eyes of society of that day, I want you to picture this. In the eyes of society that day, because he had a physical issue like that, he was declared unclean, meaning no one would want to touch him. You know why? because they would be unclean then. So that meant that other than maybe immediate family, although it sounds like his mom and dad even called him unclean, so they probably stayed away from him as much as they could as well. So he was untouched. Do you know what it's like to be untouched for a lifetime? In Romania, there was a study done on babies, normal, healthy babies. There was a study done that, and they had two groups. One group, they were orphans. They were all orphans. But in the one case, they were cuddled and loved and cared for by the nurses. And in the other, all they were fed, they were looked after, but they were not touched. Do you know that they died? That literally we need as human beings touch. It's part of who we are. And so literally, here he is on the side of the road, physically blind, emotionally crippled, not touched by anyone. And then let's take it a step further, spiritually separated from God. Because in the society of that day, if there was something wrong with you, you couldn't even go into the temple. You couldn't go to synagogue to worship God because you were declared unclean. You had to wait outside. And so imagine what's going on in blind Bart's life. He's blind. Oh, and let me add something. If you were born blind, it was either your parents sinned or you sinned. In other words, you did something wrong and God has done this to you. That was the mentality of the day. So here he is, blind beside the road, emotionally crippled, spiritually separated, feeling God did this to me. Nobody cares for me. There's no hope for me. And that's where he is on the side of the road. But is that really the heart of Jesus? No, it's not. You see, you and I have a lot of preconceived ideas about who God is based upon the culture we were brought up in, what somebody said somewhere along the way, maybe some bad experiences we've had. But can I tell you that we serve and love a God who loves us so much? And Bartimaeus was about to have an encounter with the risen Lord in his life. He wasn't risen yet, but he was risen in his life. So let's talk about this for a minute. He hears a noise. And somebody says, it's Jesus. Now, immediately he starts screaming, doesn't he? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But is the name alone enough for a person to start screaming? No, it wasn't. You see, Bart had heard about Jesus. He had heard some stories by some other people as they were walking along about how this man had made a cripple walk, cured a person of leprosy, had caused a blind person to see. He had heard those stories as people were walking by. Don't you think people were gossiping with one another about this man from Galilee that was doing all these things? He had heard that there was maybe somebody who cared for the unlovable. See, you might be here today and you might be one of those people that feels unloved because of something that's happened, something somebody has said. Can I tell you, Jesus is watching out for you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to touch your life. And for the first time in blind Bart's life, hope began to rise up on the inside of him. And he began to scream, Jesus, I'll save your ears, all right? But he began to scream at the top of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then what does the crowd do? Well, let me tell you, none of the crowd touched him. They kicked dirt at him probably. Said, shut up. Shut up, you unclean thing. Be quiet. But what does Jesus do? He stops. And he says, call him. Bid him to come to me. That same crowd who a few seconds earlier were telling him to shut up. Saying, Bart, shut up. Shut up. Be quiet. Oh, he's calling you now. Church, don't be one of the crowd. They change like the weather. They come and go. I call them fair weather friends. You don't want to follow them or be a part of the crowd. You want to be part of the congregation. You want to be part of the group of true disciples that follow Jesus through thick and thin. And so, blind Bart does something that's pretty amazing. It says that he got up. Now, you thought I was all dressed fancy for church. I hate jackets. He takes the cloak that's on him. He takes the cloak. So this was for a purpose. It says he takes the cloak and he throws it away and he runs to Jesus, goes to Jesus. What was that all about? Well, the cloak of the day, and many of you have heard this, but let me just reiterate on this. That cloak was government issued. It's what you and I would call our welfare check today. It was his food stamps. It was his ability to beg beside the road. You see, if you had an issue back then, if you were blind or crippled, you would go to the Roman government and say, look, I got a problem. So it'd be like going down to social services. I got a problem. And they would look at what your problem is, and based upon it, they would then issue a cloak. Or they wouldn't. In his case, they gave him a cloak. That cloak gave him permission to beg beside the road. In fact, if you didn't have a cloak, you couldn't even beg. You'd be arrested and thrown into prison. And let me tell you, you wouldn't get three square meals like you do today. Not a good place to go. So you actually, that was his food stamps. That was what he needed to stay alive as a blind person beside the road. And what does he do the minute he hears Jesus say, come? He throws his coat. Throws that cloak away. And let me tell you something. It didn't stay on the ground very long, because what happened? Somebody else picked that thing up quick. That'd be like finding lost money on the side of the road, right? They put it on and they became a welfare recipient. Why did he do that? He hadn't yet been healed. Jesus hadn't done anything for him at this point. Nothing at all. Faith. Trusting God. See, faith comes into action when the will of God is known. And I believe Bart, deep down in his heart, thought, well, if he could do it for that person, and that person, and that person, I'm a person. He can do it for me. So faith rose up in him to such a point, he threw away his security blanket. You see, so often, you know what you and I do? Okay, God, if you got this for me, then I'll stop doing this. I believe the reason why many more miracles happen in Africa and India and other third world countries is because they have no welfare system. They have no second option. There is no way out of this except for Jesus alone. And Bart was in that place where he knew he needed Jesus, because there was no hope for him other than that. Where are you in your faith walk with God? Are you desperate enough to pursue him with everything? Or do you always have option B in case God doesn't follow through? That's not how God works. Without faith, it's impossible to approach God. That's what the word says. We must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6, that's what it says. We have to come to that place. He rewards faith. So he throws away his security and goes up to Jesus. And Jesus asked him that. This is bizarre, right? He asked him that question. What do you want me to do for you? Now, I remember reading that as a young believer, and I'm like, duh, I'm blind. Can't you see it? Don't you know everything? What? Why would you ask that question? You know why he asked that question? Because he wanted to hear Bart's answer. Do you know why God asks you the question? What do you want? He wants to hear the answer from your own heart so you can hear it for yourself. Because sometimes our answers aren't the right answers. In his case, he wanted to see. Now, here's the question. We haven't got to the end of this yet. But what did he really want to see? Did he want to see, or did he want to see? See, I believe that his answer, I want to see, and you can look it up in the original language, it can actually mean physical seeing or spiritual seeing. That's the cool part. I'm convinced that when blind Bart said, I want to see, that he meant, I want to understand God. I want to see you, Jesus, for who you are. That's what I believe. And then as a side effect or a side benefit, he got physically healed. And here's why I believe that. Look down at verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word well, you know what it means in the original Greek? In the original word, it is sozo. So you could actually read it like this. And some of you that have been with us for a while, you'll hear us use this in other places. I could actually read it, go your way, your faith has saved you. In other words, made you whole, complete, delivered, yeah, physically healed, but more importantly, you now spiritually are complete. You see, this story isn't about a blind guy being healed of his physical blindness. It's about a man who was on the side of the road of life, seeing life go by. Again, having a physical issue, he did. But he was emotionally crippled and spiritually separated from God. And how God came along into his life and showed him that he doesn't have to be that way anymore. But that it took an act of faith to get from the side of the road onto the road. And that word road actually means a place of journey. So when I think about it, here's Bart on the side of the road, not part of life really. Life is just going past him. And so by a touch from Jesus, he now is on a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, it says, and he followed him on the road. So from the side of the road to on the road in just a few moments of time. So where are you and I blinded? Where's our blind spots? Can I tell you, you and I, we have blind spots, each and every one of us. Where are we emotionally crippled? You see, all of us are crippled emotionally in different ways. Somebody said something or somebody didn't say something, something's not. We all have certain areas where we walk, in a sense, with a limp on the inside. What about the areas in our lives where we're separated spiritually from God, where we feel like there's this huge gulf between us and Jesus, and we're questioning him. God, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Where were you? Those are all honest and legitimate questions. But when Jesus said to Bart, come, were any of those questions in his mind? No, he just threw aside his dependency upon the world and just said, I just want to see you, Jesus. You see, when you and I come to that place of total abandonment, to that place where we're willing to say, Lord, whatever you need to do to heal my eyes, whatever you need to do to heal my heart, whatever you need to do to heal my spirit, then God will make you and I whole. And this message isn't just for an unbeliever, but for every believer that's here as well. Because can I tell you, just because we're born again, just because we're spirit-filled, just because we're full of all that God has for us, doesn't mean that we're not at the end of the journey. In other words, we're on a journey that he's continually wanting to touch and minister to us. Those blind areas, we all have blind areas. We all have cripple areas. We all have separation issues. And all I'm saying to you this morning is that are you willing to put aside your whatever is comforting you right now, whatever is allowing you to kind of function in that area, are you willing to throw that aside and say, Jesus, I just want to see you in this area and embrace him. And get on the journey in that area of your life. Because that's the heart of God for you and I. That's the God we serve. You know, all the songs, I think of all the worship songs, it's all about God's love. All about his caring for us. You know, over and over again, that's what we heard. And I believe that's the message he has for you and I this morning. He loves you and he adores you. And he wants to help you get off the side of the road onto the main road of life. To fully function, to be fully whole in him. Amen. Let's stand and pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you know that the story of blind Bart is my most favorite story in the Bible. And I'm sure that if people attend here for any length of time, they're going to hear it again somewhere along the way. But Lord, how can we grow tired of hearing about your faithfulness? How can we grow tired of seeing you go through masses of people to get to one person? And that person could be us, could be me, but you did it. I don't think we should ever grow weary of hearing of how extravagant your love is and how far you'll reach out to help us see things your way. And so, Lord, I pray for those here right now that are dealing in different areas, Lord, that maybe are dealing with physical issues, Lord God, that they're blinded to certain truths that they need to see. That emotionally, Lord, they're hurting on the inside. And they don't know who to turn to. They don't know how to deal with it. But Lord, you'll make a way. And for individuals, Lord, dealing with spiritual separation. That Lord, that they would know that you're a call away and you'll answer. So Lord, even now I speak a blessing upon your people that we go from here encouraged in our walk with you. That Lord God, that this journey called life is good when we're holding your hand. So, Lord, just bless each person. I pray for a greater God consciousness this week as they go out to work and to home and to school and to recreate, wherever they are, a greater God consciousness of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Listen, if you'd like prayer, we're here to pray for you. Have a great day.